Let's begin B'siyata D'Shmaya with Oros HaTshuva, Perek Gimel, Simen Ches. Rav Kook here writes, HaMusar HaPnimi Tzoiku B'Kirbo Shel Adam. That there's an inner Musar that shouts, which cries from within the person himself, and he says to him, Ben Adam, tshuva me'avanecha. So do tshuva for your sins. Sometimes this shouting of this inner consciousness of a person, it becomes so intense that this voice of tshuva becomes so intense within a person that it disrupts the harmony of his life. A person has no choice because his internal world is so much static inside that he has no choice but to correct his ways and to go on a new path of coming upwards. To straighten things out in his inner world. It's at this point that a person needs to be a warrior. Even at this time where it's so difficult internally, it's so bitter inside, because sometimes the inner musar, the tvi of the inner musar, is so strong that a person, he feels like he can't free himself from this inner voice, and he feels like he's just entrenched in this bad behavior, this repetitive behavior, and he feels that he can't get out. Royal who dark was saying, Besimian, right? So the secret, and he feels he has no way out. Chaval who be the Achemi Mahmad, it feels like in somebody else's hands. Nevertheless, Apple Mikol Eile or Shemesh Sedaka Israel. Afrik says, nevertheless, when he feels like he can't break out, he can't. And he just finds himself between these two voices inside of himself. One is saying, you got to get yourself out of here. Bin Adam shuva me'avanecha. But on the other hand, he feels like there's nothing he can do to get himself out. And then at that point, he awakens this inner gvura. If he holds on, mikol eila or shemesh tzedaki Yisroch. Hashem will send the light of tzedakah to illuminate the darkness, to give him a way out. One of the most beautiful parts of Yom Kippurim, which really doesn't get enough attention, is the Sefer Yonah, which you read by Mincha time. It's really the very last kriya which we have of the year, if you consider Yom Kippur to be the last day of the year, which it really is. Consider it to be the Haftarah. Mamar is like the end of Yom Kippur. The Pesach into Ne'ilah. And it's so telling Because if Chazal wanted us to read about Yonah at this time, it means that we can see from this Maisa of Yonah everything we need to know about what's happening now. And it's a very inviting limud because it's a very, very small sefer. It's very compact. Even the words of Chazal about Yonah are minimal. Scattered but minimal. Oh, of course, we know the dramatic part of Yonah, where Yonah's on this boat and he tries to flee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it starts to toss at the turn, and he goes down to fall asleep, and they wake him up and they throw him into the ocean and he's swallowed by the fish. Anybody with a half a brain can see that there's something so deep which is taking place here. Even just the pasha pshat in Yonah, what is he doing running away? And Chazal asked this question. You can't read this story without saying that there's something that is just so mysterious. This is not like a regular story in the Navi. And out of all things, Chazal want us to read about Yonah right now in the heart. Mamish in the heart of Yom Kippurim. If not for this, Yonah would have been a forgotten sefer probably. It would have just been swallowed up by the rest of the Sfarim. Listen to the way that the Zayar HaKadosh teaches the Maisa with Yonah. Zayar says that as soon as Yonah was thrown into these turbulent waters, the fish was summoned to come to swallow him up. And Yonah was sitting inside of the belly of this fish. And it says that as soon as Yonah found himself in this fish, he looked all around, and this was an enormous fish. And he says, look how much space I have in here. Chazal the Zayah says, he called it a heichal gadol. It was a huge space, a huge room. It says that he approached the eyes. Again, we're talking about the inner eyes of this fish. He saw that they were shining like great lights. And as he peered out of the windows of the eyes of this fish, he was able to see from one end of the ocean to the next. And it's exactly what Yonah did for 3 days. And for 3 days, Yonah enjoyed a special tour given by the eyes of this fish to see all the mysteries of the ocean, the hidden world. National Geographic, Lahavdil, Alfi Abdullah. They take you down into the ocean, everybody wants to know what are the hidden mysteries of the ocean. This is what Elul is about. We've spoken about this before. Hanoisim Bayom Derech, that Hashem gives you a passage in the ocean. Yonah Mamish had a passage in the ocean. And after 3 days of taking perhaps the greatest tour in all of history, says the dog says, I can't live like this anymore with Yonah in my belly. And Hashem says to Yonah, whether he heard this or Yonah didn't hear this, is not clear. But Hashem says to Yonah the following words, did I bring you into this fish for this? This is why I brought you here? Take a tour of the ocean? Even before that, the Zohar asks the Stira. And the Stira is that Yonah himself says, Karasi Nitzarali, I called you out from a place of Tsar. Tsar meaning the place where it was very tight. And the Zohar says, what's going on over here? You're telling me, Reb Shimon, that it was like a Heichal Gadol? What about the fact that Yonah himself says, Karasi Nitzarali? So the Zohar says there's more to the story than what you realize. that as soon as after Hashem says to Yonah, V'chi v'kach echnasi yischa kan, that it's for this I put you here, this giant fish died. And as soon as this fish died, you can imagine what happened. All the other fish in the sea wanted to take a bite out of it. So immediately, all the other fish start to surround this fish. And from this end and from that end, they start to chomp away at the fish. And that's when Yonah says, Karasi mitzarali. Things got very tight. So tight that if they would have taken more bites, he would have been swallowed up also. So as soon as it started to happen, Yonah cried out to the heavens. And he says, "Mi beten she'ol shivati." I cried out from the depths of my belly. And the Zohar says that you see from here that he called it a she'ol, which means from the kever, that the fish had died. Why would he call it a kever if the fish was still alive? And at this point, the Zohar says, Hashem gave a tchias hamesim to the fish. That the fish came back to life. And spit Yonah onto the sea, onto the shore, or the fish itself came onto the shore. And Yonah was saved. Of course, the Zohar Kodesh is not a storybook. And the Zohar itself, Eliyahu Navi tells us in the Hakdama to the Zohar, that if anybody who reads Torah, that it's a book of stories and doesn't see the depth of the Torah, it's better that he wouldn't have been alive. Alachas Kama Vakama, the Zohar Kaddish, which is the Sefer, which is Megala Sodos, this is not just a cute story. And it's certainly not why we read it on Yom Kippur. What we have here is that the Zohar tells us elsewhere that Yonah is a mashal for the neshama. And Yonah coming into the dog, this dog represents something very deep. Because the ocean is a very deep place and the dog is also very deep. And dog, in Lashon Arami, is what's called a nun. Nunayama means the fish of the sea. And therefore, Yonah's coming into the fish is like a person falling into what we know is what's called the Shar Nun Shaltum. That he fell into the Shar Nun. Mamash, the deepest, the most darkest places that a Jew can fall. And if you ask yourself, what is it about this Shar Nun which is so mysterious? Of which Chazal say that had the Yidden fallen into Shar Nun, then they would never have left Mitzrayim. Of which the Rechaim HaKadosh comments there. But after the giving of the Torah, even if a Jew falls into Shar Nun, he could still come out. Because the Torah has the koyach to pull a Jew out even from Shar Nun. Here you have Yonah, and again this is post-Matan Torah, that Yonah falls into the Sha'anan of Tumah. Now what is the Sha'anan of Tumah? We always wonder to ourselves, we make it sound like it's some scary monster that the Jewish people couldn't have come out of Mitzrayim because we don't even know what to make of the Sha'anan. This Zohar tells us what Sha'anan Tumah is. You know what Sha'anan Tumah is? It's when you go into a place which is a very big hall, and you can go all around and you can see amazing things. You can see like these two lights, which are like light bulbs. And you can see from one end of the world to the next. This is called Sha'anan Shel Tumah. You know what this is a mashal for? It's a mashal to a Yid who lives in a really big house. He's got lots of electronics. and he has enough money to go touring over here and touring over there. And he gets so caught up in his life that he forgets what he's here to do. This is called Sha'anan Shel Tumah. The Yidden of Mitzrayim were not there. They were impoverished slaves, broken people. That's not called Sha'anan. You can fall to Memtes. What's Sha'anan? Sha'anan is when you fall into a state of such indulgence and pleasure, where you have everything at your disposal, when all of Olam Hazeh is open up to you. That's called Nunayama. That's called the Sha'anan. And this is where Yonah found himself. That even a Navi Elikim, that Hashem taps him on the shoulder after 3 days, and he says to him, this is why I put you here for. I put you into this world so that you should go around looking around the Yam and the Tahoimais. You should see all the sharks and Shark Week, and you should look at the whales and the this and the that. Life is about SeaWorld. You should spend 3 days at SeaWorld? This is what I put you here for? No, I have nothing against SeaWorld. I'm saying that this is not life. But the message is, this is not life. This is vacation. The person can do it for chizuk. There's a time for this also, but this is not life. This is not why you came into this world. And you know what happens when a Jew falls into this type of a situation? That Hashem says that if you forget about me and you forget about my Torah and you forget about Avodas Hashem because it's so good, Olam Hazeh is so gishmak, then Hashem takes it away, kills the fish. And then it gets really tight, because what you probably end up happening is they have to borrow money, and you have to borrow more money. Like Rabbunim says, that Rabbunim already said that I see already towards the end of time what's going to happen to Yidden. That a Yidden is going to have more than one job. He'll have to have two jobs to be able to keep up with the lavish life he wants to live. That's what Rabbunim said hundreds of years ago. And then the creditors are going to come, and they're going to start eating on this side, eating on this side, and it's going to get really tight inside that house. It may be a really big space to live in, but it feels very tight because people are sending you letters in the mail and they're knocking on your door. And they're coming in, they're taking everything back, all the things which you bought on credit, they're coming in, they're taking it away from you. And then it gets very tight inside. Until the Jew realizes that this is not what I'm here for, and he cries out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he remembers what he's here to do in this world. And the Jew gets his life back. And even his fish has a Tchias HaMesim, because now he knows what it's here for. He doesn't forget why he's in this world and why he has these things. This mamish life that we see all around us. That if we're sitting here every day and we're learning the sugyas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you say to yourself, what is this Sha'anan exactly? And you start to declare and you talk it out with your chavrusa, and you have no idea that your mamish is living it. It has you so in wrath that you don't even realize that as you're discussing about it, you're mamish in it. You can be giving it a shiur in like a wealthy community somewhere about the Sha'anan of Tumah, and you have all these people who are in the Sha'anan of Tumah coming to listen, and they're saying, oh wow, what a good shiur, what a good shiur. But it's not no Gila Maisa, because even the Magad Shir doesn't even know what the Sha'anan Shel Tumah is. Even he's in the Sha'anan Shel Tumah. Because he also probably has a nice salary, and he has a big house. Okay, listen, he's a Rav, he's giving shiur and this and this. But can Hashem still say to you, did I put you here for this? Is this called Avodas Hashem? Everybody can say that question to themselves. It doesn't just have to be in terms of like people who have or don't have. But this is the type of galus which we live in. Especially in America. But the way to break out from this Sha'anan of Tumah is to cry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is to shry, is mamish to cry. We find by the Yidden Mitzrayim, Chazal already say that what was Mo'ir the Geulah Mitzrayim was that Hashem says to Moshe, "Sa'akosam shamati mipei nukshav," that I hear the cries of the Yidden, and Hashem says, "Vihinei tzakas bnei Yisrael bo'elai," that the cries of bnei Yisrael have come to me. And what's very interesting is I listen to this lashon. Is that there's two ways to cry. When a person is in pain, he shouts and he cries. But there's two ways to cry. You can cry out because the pain is so enormous, or you can direct your cry as a tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very big difference. One is just a cry into the open air, and the other is a direct shot towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm crying out of this pain and I'm directing the tzaka to you, Hashem. And this is what Hashem means when he tells Moshe, "V'hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael ba'o elai," it's coming to me. They're not just crying because it's hard. They're turning to me with their cries, and Hashem says that type of a cry is ma'or agula. V'haraya, because immediately after that, it says in the pasuk, "Vayitzaku hashoitrim al paro lemor," that the Jewish officers, as we know, they were the taskmasters. They later became the zakenim. That they cried to paro lemor, and they said, "What are you doing? How could you do this to the people?" What immediately happens after that? Paro says, "What? Tichvad ha'avoda." That the levanim and the tevin leisitin lahem. You don't give it to them anymore. That things got worse for the Yidden. Why did it get worse for the Yidden? Because it says, "Vayitzaku hashoitrim el paro lemor." If you cry out to somebody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then things were not going to get better, because that wasn't the purpose why you put it to this world. A Jew cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he doesn't see paro as being responsible. He sees that this is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a Jew makes that mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Okay, I guess it wasn't hard enough. Make it harder so that they cry out to me this time." And there's an amazing lashon of the Yerushalmi like this. Yerushalmi Abraha says, "Imba al adam tzara." If a tzara comes upon a person, lo yitzvach l'gavir lo l'michal, don't cry out to the malachim. Ela l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal didn't just come with this ma'amar to teach us not to cry out to the malachim. It means anything but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If not to a malach, kal v'chayimer, to a human being. That a Jew doesn't cry out to anybody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can ask somebody for help, as long as it's somebody who's trustworthy and may be able to help you, if it's a valid hishtablis. But to cry out to somebody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a Yiddish way. Fakir, that puts you deeper into the hole. Like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu after that, it says by Yitzhak Moshe Hashem, when it came time to take away the Tzfardim, the Tzfardeyas, the Tzfardim, not the Tzfardim, Chas V'Shalom. So it says that Moshe wasn't assured that they would go away. By Yitzhak Moshe El Hashem, then it says by Yas Hashem Kidvar Moshe, when Hashem answered him. Who's going to take these away other than Hashem? And it could be, this is why the brothers of Yosef, that they didn't listen to Yosef's cries. The Reuven says in Mitzrayim, he chaps, says, why are we in this mess right now? He says, you know why? Al-Dadar. Achinu. Because of our brother Yosef. That he pleaded with us and we didn't listen. Why did they not listen? And it could be the reason why they didn't listen was because why is Yosef, this was a test, is Yosef a tzaddik or is he a rasha? Well listen, if he was a tzaddik, he wouldn't be crying to us for help. As we were putting him into the board, taking him out of the board, we should have heard Yosef saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get me out of here. But he wasn't doing that. He was saying, brothers, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? And they saw that. That's not a tzaddik. Tzaddik doesn't cry out to human beings. Tzaddik cries out to Hashem. But Afal Pichin, they should have had compassion on the fact that he's their brother. That was the fact. That he may not be a tzaddik like we think a tzaddik should be, but he's still our brother. And you know what? Papa Nisino Arabim, we have many, many cries. Throughout the year, we have many inconveniences, we have many struggles. We feel like we're going to go to the person who's responsible, we're going to beg them, we're going to cry to them, we're going to say, help me. And we forget to beg and to scream and to shout out to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, help me, you're the one I want to turn to. And we may be guilty that after all we're in Mamish the Sharnun of Tuma. That's exactly what Sharnun of Tuma is about, that it doesn't allow a Jew to recognize, to be able to shout out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And because of that, many of the cries which we shout out during the year, that they don't go up to Shemayim because they're not sent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're stuck in the lower worlds. But you know what happened in Mitzrayim? The Yidden also cried out many, many cries, just stam cries. Until finally, after 210 years, the Tzad Hashem says, finally the cries are coming to me. But you know what it says? By Yitzis Mitzrayim? The Pasuk says, V'haisa tza'aka gedoyla b'chol eretz Mitzrayim asher kamoy lo niyasa v'chamoy lo yosef. That when Yidden left Mitzrayim on the night of Yitzis Mitzrayim, it says there was a cry in Mitzrayim which was never heard before Mitzrayim and will never be heard again in Mitzrayim. What is the nature of this cry? Pashup shat. That it means that at the moment that the Malach HaMavis, not the Malach HaMavis, that Hashem Yisbarach himself, when he came into Mitzrayim and he killed all the Bukharim, that there was a cry of death in Mitzrayim which was so great because of the catastrophe. That this would never repeat itself again in history of Mitzrayim. But you know what? There's another pshat in this. And the pshat is that at the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that the Yidden finally break through the cleave of Mitzrayim, they're ready to leave Mitzrayim. You know what happens? That at that moment of Geula, that when the barrier was pierced, and all the tzaukas that the Yidden cried throughout all the years, that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, all the tzaukas went up also. That's why it was such a great cry. You can imagine all the collective cries of Bnei Yisrael throughout all the years. But they cried and they never made their way up because they weren't hinei tzakas b'nei Yisrael bo'elah. They weren't directed towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, in a moment, at that moment of Geula, they all went up together. And you know what? Every single year, this repeats itself on Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is the day in the Jewish calendar that there's a Geula for every single Jew. that Hashem promises Slila Maslicha Mechila Kapara, and all the roadblocks and all the malachim and all the reasons why tefillah shouldn't go up, they go up on Yom Kippur. Like the Sfarim say, that it's a day that not all the tefillahs that were misbaal throughout the year, which didn't go up, they have an aliyah on Yom Kippur. But the Teferet Shlomo says that the Baal Shem Tov, that he said that my avodah on Yom Kippur was malat tefillahs from thousands of years ago. That in one day, all the tzakas which we made throughout the year, or maybe even in our lifetime, that they have a Yeshua and a Geula and a Goa. That's not a coincidence why Chazal say at the end of Tainis that there was no greater days in the Jewish calendar like Yom Kippur. You can imagine the Simcha, what that means. That a person felt like all of his davenings, they weren't going up, and finally Yom Kippur, everything goes up. That it's a day of mass Kabbalah Satfilas B'Yisrael. This is Shana the Pasuk, Loi Shachach Tzakas Anavim. That Hashem never forgets the cries of the Anavim. That even though it seems that they're not going up, they're not going up, or maybe they're going, can Hashem is not listening, Hashem says, I will not forget the cry. I may need to wait till Yom Kippur, but I never forget the cries of the Anavim. This next inyan, which is part of what we were just speaking about, is a very long, deep inyan to discuss. I'm only going to touch the surface of it, Be'ezus Hashem. Now we can understand. We understand the value of the tzaka. You can imagine the shrive that Yonah HaNavi had when he was mamish losing space in the belly of this dog. That the great Heichal HaGadol was collapsing in front of his eyes. And in truth, this is mamish the matzav that a yid is in every single Yom Kippur. That right before the moment of Geula, before Ne'ilah, the Hakdama to Ne'ilah is that Yidden, you better cry. And you know, if you, not just in Lander College, if you've been to Lander College Avenue, you know that Ne'ilah, it's deafening. And it's not because Rabbi Bamiker gets up and he's like, okay guys, everybody's going to shout now. Everybody get ready to shout. Nobody's told anything. A Jew knows when it comes to Ne'ilah, you scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's desperation. It's utter desperation. That you're literally, you're in the ocean. And you're swimming for your life. That's what you feel like. You don't need to be told, it's just an instinct. That the Neshama tells you, but really it comes from Yonah. The precursor to Ne'ilah is, you have to read about Yonah, this is going to be nogeya to in a moment. And that's all very nice and very true when it comes to Yom Kippur. But what am I supposed to do the rest of the year? I can't come into the Beis Medrash on the regular Shachris and just start to scream out in the middle of the Shachris. What does this mean for the rest of the year? So in Sichas Aran and Simon Tes Zayin, Rav Nassan reveals the Yisayid from Rav Nachman, where he says there's a secret called the Kol D'Mamadaka. that a Jew is able to scream at the top of his lungs in a way that nobody hears that he's screaming. That a Jew can walk around during the day if he likes even. And he can mamish in the depths of his heart, if he can mamish cry, scream and shout out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that nobody hears him. And again, this is just the stowaway for the rest of the year. Like, I remember I was once by my Rebbe, and it was a couple years ago where there was an El Al flight where I guess it was trying to land and there was a problem with the landing gear. And so it was at a time where it was an hour or two before the plane was going to land, and the word was traveling fast and people were davening. And I was waiting in line, may have been at this time of year, I don't remember, to give a kvittel to the Rebbe. And I was told about this. So when I went in to hand the kvittel to the Rebbe, I said to him, Rebbe, do you know about the flight? He said, no. So I started to describe the details. The landing gear, there's hundreds of Yidden on it. It's Mamash Sakrana. They have ambulances and they have fire trucks all over. I could just see, I was looking into my Rebbe's eyes. And without flinching, he didn't make a move, he didn't say anything. His eyes became very wide, and his face became very tense. And I could see that inside, he was mamish screaming inside. Screaming inside of him. It was a cold mamadata. This, by the way, is the way of I don't want to give away my Rebbe's secrets, but this is the way of my Rebbe, and the Derech of Rafshitz Bechlal is very, very, very beginning when it comes to this Derech of Chassidus. This is the way that tzaddikim go. They go around in a way where they may be smiling and just walking down the street, but inside, mamish, if you had ears in Shemayim, you would hear shouting mamish in a way that nobody knows. And it doesn't mean that to say that everybody's going to walk down the street now and start practicing to be like a tzad. It could mean that it could be done at times where a person needs to shout out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He shouldn't feel like he has to scream, and if he doesn't, that's not called tzaka. Real tzaka is a tzaka belief. The Zohar says so explicitly elsewhere. The Zohar says that the ikr tzaka is a tzaka belief. Ad kitikas, that the maila that tzaka has over tzila is that tzaka's belief and tzila may not be. But regarding Yom Kippur, regarding the Eel, and regarding the singing of Yonah, also in Sichas Aran and Shin Beis, Rav Nosson says, "Pamachas amadati lefanav." I was once standing in front of Rav Nachman, but Huzal Hayamunach Hamitasli was lying on his bed. This is what he said. This is what came out of his mouth. Their ikr is mibeten sheol shivat. The main thing is mibeten sheol shivat. To cry out from your stomach. And if this pasuk rings a bell, that's because we just said it before. This pasuk is a pasuk in Yonah. That when Yonah was in the dog, it says mibeten sheol shivat. He cried out a cry from the depths of his stomach, which means from the deepest recesses of who he is. And Rav Nachman and Rav Nosson, they say in many places, and now every single Chassidus will have its interpretation of what it is the Ikar Tshuva. When we speak about Tshuva, what's the Ikar Nekudah? We spoke about last week the idea of Tshuva being Mikan Lahaba. Rav Nachman's Shita in Tshuva is, this is a quote, Ki Ikar HaTshuva Hu Tze'aka V'Ze'aka L'Hashem Yisbarach. That when a Jew is pushed into a corner and he feels like he may give up, and instead of giving up, he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ikar Tshuva. And in fact, Rav Nosson testifies about Rav Nachman. What Rav Nachman would do, and don't try this at home, is that he would go occasionally on a boat and set himself off into the ocean without any paddles, and we would get deep, deep into the ocean. He would put up his hands and scream out to Kodesh Baruch Hu and say, take me back to shore. Get me out of here. And the waves would come and toss him all around. He made himself into a Yonah. He would mamish live the story of Yonah. He lived his lashitasa that the Iker Dover in Avodas Hashem is mi beten she'ol shibak. And then he would make his way back somehow. He didn't know how he would get back, but he made his way back. And he says he would do this to teach us that the Iker Nakuda in Avodas Hashem is to never give up and to always cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if you feel like you have no etzes. You don't know what to do. You have no plan. That's why you're crying. You just refuse to give up. This, in the Derech of Breslov, for sure, it's called the Ikra Tshuva, Tzachal Hashem Yisbarach. It's called Mibetin She'ol Shibati. Doesn't mean you have to scream the loudest. Because that's also chitzonius. It means that as much as a person can awaken the recesses, the depth of his heart, he doesn't have to be a tzaddik even. He just has to be stubborn enough that he refuses to give up because there's no yish ba'ayid. And he knows that if he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially in Yom Kippur, that Hashem will hear his cries. That's called tshuva. Like the Rambam says, that even though tshuva in tzaaka is good throughout the whole year, tshuva in tzaaka is best during Aseres Mitzvah. This is about tzaaka. I'm not going to get into the whole sugi of tzaaka, but this nekud of mibetin she'ol shivat, baspaklaria shel Rav Nachman especially. This is what we read about in Yonah as we approach Shasni Ilah. By the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, he was a very simple Jew. He was the Mashamish. And this Shamish, on Erev Yom Kippur, as he was enjoying himself in, I guess, in his Suda HaMafsakes, it says, Achal harbe ma'oid v'shasa yayin l'roiv. He had a little bit too much to eat and to drink. And he became drunk and he fell into a state of sleep. And that year was a tremendous kitrug in Shemayim against the Yidden. And it says the Baal Shem Tov and his Chevra, they worked very hard to be mevatel this gzeira. They cried and they davened. So after many hours, this Shamish woke up. And he woke up from his sleep and he saw all around him that Baal Shem Tov and the Chevra were mamish crying. So what did he do? He started to do the same thing. He says, I don't know what they're crying about, but I'm also going to do that. And he says, he was shoyfich libum l'shamayim t'epachiyas atzumas mamish. He shouted to the heavens. V'hischil livkoy simayim ba'ayim kundaliba. And he cried with them from the depths of his heart. After Yom Kippur, the Baal Shem Tov said to the Chevra, that they have to make new set of clothes for this shamish. Because his bechias from the Oimek HaLev was mevatel the gzeira. And the Lechavitcher said about this story, he said, Haim atem choishvim shehamashamish hazeh nase achakach l'baal hasaga? He says, you think that this shamish, after Yom Kippur, he became some great Baal Ruch HaKadosh, he's some big tzaddik? Loi v'loi, certainly he did not. He continues to be a drunkard. But at that moment, he cried from the depths of his heart. That's why he was able to be baptized. This is mamish a Jew. This is mamish each and every one of us. Mamish. This is the Yonah. And he goes down into the boat and he goes to sleep and they come and they wake him up and they say to him, Ben Adam, Malach HaNirdam, what are you sleeping over here for? And then he wakes up and all of a sudden he finds out that he's in the middle of the ocean and you remember that he's in the middle of in the belly of the of this huge fish, and the space is coming tight. And this big zeris cast upon him, and he cries out, nothing changed. This guy didn't have a transformation overnight. He continued to drink and to drink. But at that moment, he was soik ma'imek alev on Yom Kippur. That, the Baal Shem Tov said, is what made the difference. That he learned the lesson of Reina Hanavi. Of Mibetin Sha'ol Shivat. Once happened by the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz. The tzaddikim had different minhagim when it came to the end of the fast on Yom Kippur. Some tzaddikim were very medactic to end the fast on time because of the tzar of the people or the tzar shechina, that the Yidden should be fasting like this. Where other tzaddikim had an inyan that they would mamish prolong the fast. And by the Divrei Chaim, even after everybody finished davening Maariv, he was still holding an Ilah. And it says that he would be davening in the Ilah, and the women would be in the streets selling food to the people leaving Shul. While the Divrei Chaim was still in Shul davening in the Ilah, they were already going home after Maariv and buying food on the way home from these women and having a bite to eat. And there was one Yid, there was a certain tzaddik who approached the Divrei Chaim, and he said to him, doesn't the word say in the Ilah, doesn't it say HaShemesh Yavai V'Yifneh, that the Shemesh is going down and is setting? That the Ilah is the time that when the Shemesh is going down. He says, it's already late into the night. You can't have Ne'ilah now. So it says that the Divrei Chaim, he took his hand and he put it on this Yid's forehead. And he said to him, you know what the Shemesh is? The Shemesh is the Tzaddik. And as long as the Tzaddik is still davening, the sun is still up. And Lani Estati doesn't just mean that the tzaddik is still davening. It means that any Jew who at that time during the Ilah, that he's a Jew of Mibetin Sha'ol Shivati, that if he's doing what a Jew does in the Ilah, that's called the Shemesh is still up. But as long as a Jew feels that when he's davening, it's in the Ilah Dika davening. It's a Mibetin Sha'ol Shivati, like Rav Nosson says elsewhere, that any time a Jew cries, like a Jew cries on Yom Kippur, at any day of the year, he's Ma'ayra B'chin of Yom Kippur. But that day becomes a Yom Kippur Dika day. If a Jew cries, like a Jew cries, Mibetin Sha'ol Shivati. That's why it's called Mibetin. Mibetin means like, you can't even think about eating because you're crying from that place where the food would go. The people who are going home because they're hungry, they're not crying Mibetin Sha'ol Shivati. Because their Betin is crying for food, and they're not crying from their Betin. Those are not Tza'akos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are Tza'akos to the food. But as long as the Jew is in a matzav of Mibetin Sha'ol Shivati, even if everybody else is davening Maariv, for him it could still be Ne'ilah. That's why it says HaShemesh Yavo V'Yifne. The Shemesh is not the actual sun. It's the tzaddik. Or it's the drunken guy who knows the secret in Betin Sha'ol Shivati. It's the Shemesh of the Baal Shem Tov. Because whether it's the Shemesh of the Baal Shem Tov or it's the Shemesh of the Divrei Chaim, Shemesh is Rashi Tevos Betin Sha'ol Shivati. How nice it is that even Rav Kook in this last line over here, Rav Kook is describing the inner machlekes that a Jew has, that he has the tzaakas halev inside of himself, which is saying, yidu tshuva, ben adam malachan yirdam. That the inner voice inside of him is awakening him to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yet he feels like he can't get himself out. Like Yonah says, how am I going to get out of this fish and this sea? There's nothing I can do here. But a Jew hangs on. And we just have to put in through his hook. And he cries. Mibet in Shol Shivati. He concludes, Avo Mikol Eile, or Shemesh Tzaka Yizah. That the Shemesh of Refuah, that the Shemesh of Tzedakah, that this Shemesh is born out of the Mibet in Shol Shivati that a Yid does. When he feels like there's no way out, when he cries out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Ikri Nekuda in Tshuva, this is Yom Kippur, this is Ne'ilah. And this could be any other time of the year, like we said. It could be a call to Mamadak, and it could be Mo'ara B'chid Yom Kippur, any time of the year. But this is what we have, because we all find ourselves now in the new Neyama. We're literally in the Sha'anan of Tumah. We're living at that time. We know how to identify it. Rav Nachman says that an Adam is b'sakana gadayla b'zeha oylam kashi yadea kolecha b'nafsha. B'chavin hadvarim heiter. Every single Jew literally is always, he wants us to know, we're always literally in the ocean, in the depth of the dog. This is the life of a Jew, especially right now in this tkufa in history, we're mamash in the Sha'anun. And the way to hold on, to pull our way out to see that Sa'akam and Beth and Shaol Shiva. That it should be a Sa'akam between the Sa'akam. So if a Jew is wondering if he's going to come into Yom Kippur, and how is the Yom Kippur going to be different? What avoid that he could do to make a difference? Especially as we come, this is the very last Kriya in the Haftarah. This is like the end of the end. The last moments, Chazal give us this lifeline. In Beth and Shaol Shiva. Learn the lesson of Yonah. Even if you're in Sha'anan, you can strive to the heavens to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tzakas b'nei Yisrael goylai, and with that you can be mala all of your tzakas from the past year. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. And Yonah should be a good Rebbe for us. And Kippur should be a meaningful day for us. To be able to learn the lesson of Betan Shal Shirati, not just for Yom Kippur, for all around. Anshe Tza'aka, Anshe Tila, and that's we ma'ara all the Tza'akas of Klai Yisrael and all the Dairis, which will certainly produce that Beis HaMikdash, which will be called the Havya Yisrael HaKadshi, the Simachim, the Beis Tfilasu, that it'll be such a simcha when the Yidin see where all the Tfilas went, that all the Tza'akas and all the Tfilas of B'nai Yisrael, that all the generations, but they thought nothing would come of it, that the Simachim, the Beis Tfilasu, it'll be such a simcha to see that those Tfilas were never vakanim. The Shachach Tzakas Anavim, the Tfilas built that Beis HaMikdash, we'll be able to see that Beis HaMikdash with our own eyes, with Bias Goyal Tzedek, and Meir, and Meir, and Meir.
Amen. Thank you, Abby.
Challenge in 210 for whoever wants.
According to the Medrash, the dog said to Yonah, you know, this is the day that I'm supposed to be eating that with Yasin. It could be that, what's happening is that either like this fish gets followed by Lubid Yasin and like La'asa Baba, and then your mom is in the circle of Lubid Yasin. It's kind of
one screams out and then he's trying to find us
and that's what. Yeah, the way I would say it would be like this. It'd be like the sukkah, your sukkah is your dog.
That's
his dog. Allah Asalavo, a person is going to come to such a degree of emunah that even after the Leviathan eats your fish, you still don't have to die. Understand? That if you've been swallowed once, and you don't die, that's called Yosaka.
That's what I told you.
The fact that you've been swallowed once, you can be swallowed again by the giantest fish, and you can still, and you still be alive, that's called Yosaka Shavuot. That emunah. That emunah. Let's just do something for a second. Dog Bamilo is Dallas Gimel, yeah? So Dallas is how much? It's 434. That's Gimel. Gimel 73. So that's 34 and 73. 34 and 73. 107, right? Mm-hmm. So plus 400. So it's 507, right? It's 507, right? Dog. Dallas Gimel, right? Dallas Gimel, right? Gimel Mem Lamed. Let's do like that. Gimel Mem Lamed. Yeah? Right? Is that right? 73 plus 434. Now let's do Chag HaSukkos. Yeah? So, let's do Chag as well. 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much is HaSukkos? So let's do without. Let's do without. With only one Vav right now. Let's do with one Vav. Right? 91. 491, right? 491. What's 491 plus 11? Number 2. Now add the other vav. 6, right? So how much is that? Five away. What was our dog before? Oh, okay. It's a kailo. Dog b'miluya is going to match your chagasuk.
410.
Yeah, so that his dog, the dog which he's in, becomes his sukkah. Adar, Aleph Dar, goes into the dog. Dog.
Yeah, we can prove it.
Yeah. Is once that was by Purim also. It says by Yizak Zaka Gedol Umara. The Yidden cried out. As is that the Tzaka of Mordechai and the Tzaka ben Yisrael was what caused Haman to be hung. So Sadar Remez wants that. I think my Rebbe said this talk also. We know that Haman was hung on an eighth nun. Right? Nun. The first remez which sticks out is that the eighth nun represents the fact that that the Yidden were in what's called Sha'anan Shel Tuma. And you see, what happened was they came to the ballroom of Achashverosh, and they had everything, right? They thought that they were going to make things good with the king. But they were walking into a booby trap, because it was literally they were walking into the Sha'anan Shel Tuma. And Mordechai warned them not to come. They went. They went into that world of total gashmias, total hefkeris. That was the Sha'anan Shel Tuma. And Mordechai, as the Tzadik Hador, in having to try to correct that, he had to be zayek at tza'aka gedoyla umara. Tza'aka mibetin shol shirati, which is like he was goyzer tainis, because being goyzer tainis means mibetin shol shirati. So Yom Kippur is a tainis, because it comes from a place called mibetin. It comes from a place that you can't eat. But the place where you normally eat from, you're crying from that. The crying is occupying the space. So he was goyzer tainis, which is why we have tainis Esther before Purim. And that's why so that the Megillah itself should be a mibetin shol shirati, which is like Rashi says in Megillah, and daf dalim and aleph, forgive me a little bit aleph, that the kriyas of Megillah is a tza'aka from Bnei Yisrael. It's a bechina of being tza'ak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that reverses and it hangs Haman on the Sha'anan. That it takes Bnei Yisrael out of the Sha'anan to be tza'ak. So the Ari says that this eitz, that the eitz that Haman was hung on is the secret of the letter Kuf, the regal of the Kuf. What does it mean, the regal of the Kuf? So the regal of the Kuf is what letter, Chava? It's a nun. But it's an endonun, which is going down very low, right? Which means that it's like the Sha'anan Shel Tuma. It's the nun which goes deep below the surface. It's like in the ocean. Below sea level. So it was in this place that Haman was hung. On this nun. So it's interesting is that if you take, this is an eight, which is the letter Kuf, right? So if you take eight Kuf, what does it spell? Tzak. Is to say that the tzaka that Mordechai did, the actual tzaka created this eight. So Haman was literally hung on the tza'aka of Mordechai. And that's the reason why we eat the mazel of others dagen. Because it was this bechin of Yonah, mibetin shol shivati, the secret of the dog, which is underneath the ocean. Which is like the makor, in a sense. This mice with Yonah is like the makor for the Nes of Purim. Said Yom Kippur is Kippur. What's interesting also is that this, if you take the letter Kuf, the letter Kuf, so it divides into two letters. Right? The bottom one is an endonun, and what's left on top is a resh. Right, resh. So if you spell out Reish, it's Reish Yud Shin. What's the gematria of Reish Yud Shin?
5:10.
Huh? 5:10. How does 5:10 relate to this story of Mila? Well, let's see. How many people were hung on this tree? 10. 10 sons of Haman. And how many people were killed in Shushan on that day? It says, Hergu Abed, how many? So if you take the Chamesh Mios Ish and the Aseres Pnei Haman as Gematria, 5:10. So that's the Reish. So really, literally, this regal of the Kuf is a Nun, which is the Eitz, and the Reish, which is Reish Yudchin, which is the top, are the people who were, came out like hung on this tree.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah,
So, you know, Mordechai is the OCO's Yom Derech. Yom Derech. As I said before, Hanaisim by Yom Derech. Okay, should be Zechet to Yeshua, so all the talk is Chayesel, should be Nana. God bless you. Have a good job.
You could have just kept on going.
No, no.
How does the narrative fit? Yonah was on the ship. He basically gave up, fell asleep, and he said, "You know, just stick me in the ocean." Why did that lead to the Nun Shar of Tumah?
What do you mean? Why did it lead to?
It seems like how did this? I don't know. Just everything before him going into the dog, how did that lead him to come into the Shar Nun?
I guess because if you try to run away from Hashem, you'll find yourself in the Shar Nun for Tumah.
At this point, it didn't seem like he was running away anymore, though. He was willing to just face it.
No, he was by going. Not really. Not really. Because Chazal said that he was giving up his life. He would rather die than to have to give him a door. He was Meister Nefesh to die, basically. Mm-hmm. He didn't think he was going to come out alive.
The understanding that Yonah didn't want to deliver the Nebuah because he didn't want Ninveh to cause eventual destruction of.
That's right.